Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Inheritance Hustle, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Grift. The smell of ammonia burned my nostrils as I scrubbed dried piss off the rim of a gold-plated toilet. Eleanor Whitaker's Park Avenue penthouse was a cathedral of wealth. Marble floors, crystal chandeliers, oil paintings of dead white men who probably owned people like me back in the day. But even billionaires shit. And when they do, it's Lacey fucking Monroe who's on her knees cleaning it up. I'd been working for Eleanor for 3 weeks. 3 weeks of polishing silver she never used, dusting books she never read, and listening to her cough up what was left of her lungs from the bedroom down the hall. Ovarian cancer, the other maid, Rosa, had whispered. Stage 4. She won't see Christmas. Rosa crossed herself like that meant something. Me. I crossed my fingers and started counting the zeros in Eleanor's obituary. I didn't plan to be a con artist. Then again, I didn't plan to be a lot of things. Like the daughter of a meth head who traded my 7th grade science fair trophy for a bag of crank. Foster care teaches you two things: how to lie and how to spot an exit. By the time I aged out, I could cry on command, forge a social security card, and sweet-talk a social worker into looking the other way. But this was the big leagues. It happened on a Tuesday. Eleanor's lawyer, Gregory Voss, had left his laptop open on the kitchen island while he took a call outside. The screen glowed with a document titled draft_obit_whitaker_8.pdf. My fingers hovered. One glance over my shoulder, clear, and I clicked. Eleanor Penelope Whitaker, 78, philanthropist and heiress to the Whitaker shipping fortune, passed peacefully. Blah, blah, saintly bullshit. My eyes skipped to the good part. Survived by no immediate family. Per her wishes, the majority of her estate will be liquidated, with proceeds donated to. I stopped breathing. Liquidated. As in, poof. Gone. All that money, enough to drown in, handed to strangers while some nobody maid scrubbed her toilets. My pulse thumped in my ears. Then I saw it. A single line buried in the footnotes. Note, Gregory, double-check probate court records re. Adoption relinquishment in 79. Last inquiry was 2012, no leads. Adoption. The word hit me like a slap. Eleanor had a kid. A kid she gave up. A kid who'd be, what, mid-40s now? My age. I heard Gregory's voice rising outside the terrace doors. Fiduciary duty to ensure the will is airtight before. I minimized the document, wiped my fingerprints off the mouse, and slipped back into the hallway. But my mind was racing. A missing daughter. A fortune with no heirs. And me, Lacey Monroe, with a face that could be anyone's. That night, I dug through Eleanor's trash. Not the glamorous part of grifting, but you'd be shocked what rich people throw away. Receipts, pill bottles, crumpled tissues. I struck gold with a discarded hairbrush tangled with silver strands. Eleanor's DNA. I pocketed it, along with a lipstick-stained wine glass from her bedside table. The next morning, I called in sick and took the 6 train to Queens. Mickey's Tavern was a dive bar that doubled as a black market lab. The guy I needed sat in the back booth, nursing a Budweiser and a methadone hangover. "Hey, Doc," I said, sliding into the seat across from him. He didn't look up. "I told you I'm out. Cops raided my cousin's clinic last month." I dropped the Ziploc bag with Eleanor's hair onto the table. $15,000. Cash. All you gotta do is make a DNA test say I'm her long-lost kid. Doc finally met my eyes. His were bloodshot, hungry. "You're out of your mind." "Am I?" I leaned in. "You've got a parole hearing next week. How's your PO gonna feel when I send him those photos of you and the underage?" "Fine," he hissed. "But it'll take a week. And when this blows up in your face, don't come crying to me." I smirked. Wouldn't dream of it. Getting close to Eleanor wasn't hard. Loneliness makes people desperate. I started accidentally, leaving my things around the penthouse. A locket with a fake baby photo, a torn adoption certificate I'd printed at the library. When Eleanor found them, she'd stare for a long time, her bony fingers trembling. One evening, I let her catch me crying in the pantry. "Lacey," her voice was paper thin. "What's wrong, dear?" I turned, mascara streaked down my cheeks. "It's stupid. I just found this today." I held up the forged certificate, my birth date, circled in red. "My mom gave me up. Never even told me her name." Eleanor froze. Then slowly she reached out. "May I?" I handed it over, watching her face crumple as she read the name I'd chosen, Margaret Ellis. Eleanor's maiden name. "Oh, my dear girl," she whispered. Bingo. Gregory wasn't as easy. He cornered me 2 days later in the laundry room, his Italian loafers squeaking on the tile. "I know what you're doing," he said, nostrils flaring. "You think I don't see the games? The coincidences." I folded a towel calm. "I don't know what you're talking about." "Bullshit. You're targeting a dying woman. It's disgusting." I laughed. "Says the guy skimming $3 million from her charity fund." His face went white. "You how?" "Relax, Greg. Your secret's safe with me." I stepped closer, lowering my voice. "As long as mine's safe with you. Now, when that DNA test comes back, you're gonna smile, shake my hand, and welcome me to the family." "Got it." He looked like he wanted to strangle me. But greed's a universal language. He left without another word. The test results arrived on a Friday. Eleanor insisted on opening them together, her skeletal hands shaking as she tore the envelope. "Probability of maternity, 99.98%. She sobbed. Actually fucking sobbed. Pulled me into a hug that smelled like chemo and Chanel No. 5. "My daughter," she kept saying. "My daughter." I buried my face in her shoulder, playing my part. But over her shoulder, I caught Gregory's reflection in the mirror. He mouthed two words. "You're dead." I winked. That night, I sat in my shitty Bushwick apartment, staring at the first check Eleanor had written me. $50,000. A gift, she'd called it. For all the lost years. I poured a shot of bottom-shelf vodka and toasted the peeling ceiling. "To family," I muttered. But as I drifted off, I dreamed of a woman with my face, her eyes sharp as a scalpel, whispering, "You stole something that's mine." Chapter 2, Bleaching the Truth. Money changes people. Turns out, it changes me faster than most. 2 weeks after the DNA test, I moved into Eleanor's penthouse. "To make up for lost time," I'd said, batting my lashes. She'd clutched my hand like I was the second coming. Gregory just glared, his jaw twitching like he wanted to scream. But he kept quiet. Smart man. Eleanor's gifts started small: a diamond bracelet, a Rolex, a fucking Picasso sketch she pulled out of a closet like it was a Costco coupon. "Your father loved art," she'd say, coughing into a silk handkerchief. I'd nod, playing the grieving daughter. Never mind that I'd Googled Charles Whittaker the night before and found out the bastard collected Nazi memorabilia. But the real prize was the trust fund. $20 million, liquid, with my name on it. All I had to do was wait for Eleanor to die. Problem was, Eleanor wasn't dying fast enough. "The doctors say the new treatment might buy me months," she wheezed one morning over poached eggs and regret. I stabbed my fork into a strawberry, forcing a smile. "That's wonderful, Mom." It wasn't wonderful. Every day she stayed alive was another day my lies could unravel. Another day for some real long-lost daughter to crawl out of the woodwork. So I got creative. The plan was simple: speed up the timeline. Not murder, too messy. But rich people love their holistic remedies. Especially when their shiny new daughter suggests them. "I read about this detox tea," I told Eleanor, handing her a mug of steaming liquid. "It's got mushrooms. From Tibet. They say it cleanses the soul." What it actually had was a cocktail of laxatives and melatonin. Enough to keep her weak, confused, and glued to her bed. By day three, she looked like a cadaver with a pulse. Gregory cornered me in the hall. "What the hell are you doing to her?" "Helping her rest," I said, adjusting the Cartier earrings she'd given me that morning. "You should try it. You look like shit." He grabbed my arm. "I'm watching you. One slip up and I'll..." "You'll what?" I jerked free. "Expose me? Congrats, you'll lose your cut and go to prison for embezzlement. How's that wife of yours gonna like conjugal visits?" He backed off. Coward. The DNA test had bought me credibility, but I needed more. Paperwork. History. A past that could survive a private investigator's scrutiny. That's where the bleach came in. Eleanor's bathroom was a pharmacy. Oxycontin. Fentanyl patches. Enough Xanax to sedate a zoo. I pocketed the good stuff and got to work on her medicine cabinet. A splash of Clorox in her shampoo bottle, just enough to loosen her hair follicles. A few strands in the shower drain, carefully collected with tweezers. What are you doing? I froze. Eleanor stood in the doorway, her silk robe hanging off her skeletal frame. Just cleaning, I said, forcing a laugh. Your drains are gross, Mom. She frowned. The staff handles that. I'm staff. The words slipped out before I could stop them. Her face softened. No, darling. You're family. Guilt flickered in my gut. I stomped it dead. That night, I met Doc at another shitty bar. He slid a manila envelope across the table. Birth certificates. School records. Even a fucking dental chart from 1982. I flipped through the forgeries. They look real. Real enough to fool a coroner. He lit a cigarette, eyeing the duffel bag of cash at my feet. You're playing a dangerous game, kid. It's not a game, I said. It's a grift. He snorted. What's the difference? In a game, everybody walks away. By week three, I'd become Eleanor's shadow. I fed her pills, read her Bible verses, and lied through every, I love you. But the closer I got, the more I noticed the cracks in her facade. The way she'd stare at old photos of Charles, her eyes hollow. The way she'd flinch when helicopters buzzed past the penthouse. PTSD from some family trip to Venezuela that went sideways. He wasn't a good man, she confessed one night, her fingers clawing the bedsheets. But he was my husband. I patted her hand. You don't have to talk about it. I do, she insisted, her voice rising. Before I die, you need to know the truth. My pulse spiked. Truth was a word that could gut me. Your father, he had temper, she whispered. When I told him I was pregnant, he made me get rid of it. The baby. My little girl. I blinked. But you gave her up for adoption. Her laugh was a dry rattle. Is that what I told you? The room tilted. Gregory found me puking in the guest bathroom. Panic attack? He leaned against the doorframe, smirking. Or just morning sickness? I spat into the sink. Fuck you. You're slipping, Lacey. First the bleach in her shampoo. Did you really think I wouldn't notice? Now this little breakdown. He crouched until his face was level with mine. She's starting to doubt you. I can see it. I grabbed his tie, yanking him closer. You breathe a word, and I'll burn your life to the ground. Starting with that mistress in Tribeca. He paled. How do you? I'm a daughter, I hissed. We notice things. The next morning, Eleanor asked to see the locket again. The fake one I'd found in a pawn shop engraved with Margaret Ellis. It's just like the one my mother gave me, she said, tracing the filigree. Before she died, I forced tears. Do you think she'd be proud of me? Eleanor hesitated. Then, softly, I think she'd be scared of you. Before I could respond, the intercom buzzed. Ms. Whitaker? The doorman's voice crackled. There's a woman here to see you. Says she's your daughter. The room froze. Eleanor's head snapped toward me. Another daughter? Gregory materialized in the doorway, his smile venomous. Shall I send her up? Her name was Claire Morrison. 39. Born in Albany. Dressed like a suburban soccer mom, right down to the sensible flats and the cross necklace. But her eyes? Predator eyes. Mom, she said, rushing to Eleanor's bedside. I've been looking for you for years. Eleanor recoiled. Who are you? Claire pulled out a birth certificate. Eleanor Penelope Whitaker listed under mother. They changed my name when I was adopted, she said, tears shimmering. But I never forgot you. I stood in the corner, silent. Let Gregory have his fun. Let them both dig their graves. Eleanor's hands shook as she compared Claire's documents to mine. The same birth date. The same hospital. The same fucking signature. This can't be, Eleanor whispered. Claire turned to me, her smile sweet as arsenic. Who's this? Lacey, I said. The maid. Gregory pounced. Seems we have a situation, he said, brandishing both DNA reports. Two daughters. One inheritance. Eleanor looked between us, her breathing ragged. I don't understand. Claire knelt beside the bed. I'll take another test. Right now. We'll use a reputable lab. Gregory nodded. I'll arrange it. I stayed silent. Let them think they'd won. But as Claire helped Eleanor into a wheelchair, she shot me a look, a razor blade wrapped in velvet. Game on, bitch. The lab tech drew blood at 3 p.m. By 3:15, Claire was cornering me in the elevator. You're good, she said, pressing the emergency stop button. But you missed something. Oh! I crossed my arms. What's that? She stepped closer. Real daughters don't bleach their mother's hair. Before I could react, she grabbed my wrist and slammed it against the wall. A scalpel glinted in her other hand. Here's how this ends, she whispered, the blade hovering over my jugular. You disappear. I get the money. And if you ever come near her again, The elevator lurched back to life. I'll cut the truth out of you. Chapter 3. Bloodlines and Bloodshed. The elevator doors slid open, and Claire stepped back, the scalpel vanishing into her purse like a magician's trick. See you at the will reading, sis, she purred, strutting into the lobby like she owned it. I stayed frozen, my wrist throbbing where she'd pinned it, the ghost of the blade still cold against my throat. Fuck. 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 I'd underestimated her. Claire wasn't just some sob story opportunist, she was a pro. And pros don't leave loose ends. I spent the next hour scrubbing my skin raw in the penthouse bathroom, trying to wash off the feel of her. Eleanor was asleep, thanks to the detox tea. I'd spiked with enough Ambien to drop a horse. Gregory hovered outside her door, smirking. Trouble in paradise? Eat a dick, I muttered, storming past him. My burner phone buzzed in my pocket. A text from Doc, lab's done. Her DNA's a match. You're screwed. I stared at the screen until the words blurred. Claire's test would come back positive. Of course it would. She was the real deal. Which meant I had roughly 48 hours before Eleanor cut me out of the will. Unless I cut Claire out first. The methadone clinic gambit. Doc's lab was a methadone clinic bathroom in the Bronx. He stood at the sink, scrubbing fake blood off his hands from whatever back alley surgery he'd just botched. You're gonna get us both killed, he said when I told him the plan. You're already dying, I shot back, nodding at the track marks on his arms. Might as well go out useful. He sighed. What do you need? Claire's blood sample. Switch it with mine. Impossible. The lab's got security now, cameras, chain of custody logs. I slapped a photo on the counter. A grainy shot of Doc handing a baggie of pills to a teenager outside the clinic. Remember this? The kid's 14. 14, document. How many years you think that'll get you? His face crumpled. You're a demon. And you're a saint. I kissed his greasy forehead. Get it done. The sister act. Claire moved into the penthouse that afternoon. To bond, she said, clutching Eleanor's hand like a life raft. Eleanor, doped to the gills, just nodded. Family should stick together. We were given adjacent bedrooms. Claire's was lavender-scented, filled with fresh roses. Mine smelled like bleach and regret. That night, I found her digging through my desk. Looking for something? I leaned in the doorway, arms crossed. She didn't flinch. Just admiring your craftsmanship. She held up my forged adoption papers. These are good. But the notary stamp? It's from a county that didn't exist in 1982. I stepped closer. You think Eleanor knows that? I think you're lazy. She tore the papers in half. And I'm not. We stood there, breathing each other's air, two feral cats in a cashmere cage. Why not team up? I said suddenly. Split the inheritance. No one gets hurt. She laughed. You don't want a partner. You want a patsy. And you want a corpse. Her smile sharpened. Only if it's yours. The poison chalice. Eleanor's health nosedived. The detox tea was backfiring. Her skin turned jaundice yellow, her coughs wet and ragged. Gregory started hovering, his beady eyes tracking every pill I poured, every syringe I prepped. She needs a hospital, he said during one of her coughing fits. She needs peace, I snapped. Now get out. Claire watched from the corner, sipping herbal tea like it was a spectator sport. You're killing her, she said after Gregory left. We're both killing her, I corrected. Difference is, I'm honest about it. She set down her cup. Honesty's overrated. Later, I found the teacup in the trash. Unfinished. Smart bitch. The DNA debacle. The lab results arrived at dawn. Gregory brought them in, his smirk wider than the Hudson. Ladies, he said, handing us each an envelope. The moment of truth. Claire ripped hers open. Probability of maternity. 99.99%. Eleanor burst into tears. My girls, both my girls. I stared at my results. 99.98%. Same as before. Claire's heel ground into my toe under the table. Looks like we're sisters, she said sweetly. Gregory's eyes narrowed. This is highly irregular. Two daughters decades apart, no records. Miracles happen, Claire said, pressing a hand to her cross necklace. I wanted to stab her with a salad fork. The midnight raid. I found Claire in the wine cellar at 2 a.m., rifling through Eleanor's safe. Early Christmas shopping? I flipped the lights on. She didn't turn around. Looking for Dad's old gun. Heard he kept a Luger down here. Charles Whitaker was a lot of things. Sentimental wasn't one of them. She straightened, holding a velvet box. Inside was a necklace, thick gold chain, pendant shaped like a ship's wheel. Whitaker family crest, she said. Worth about $200,000. Leave it. Or what? She draped it over her neck. You'll tell Mom. I pulled out my phone, showing her a video of her pocketing the necklace. I'll tell the cops. She lunged. We crashed into a rack of Bordeaux, bottles shattering around us. Red wine pooled like blood as we grappled, her nails raking my cheek. You're dead, she hissed. Already am, I growled, kneeing her in the ribs. Gregory found us minutes later, sprawled in the wreckage. Ladies, he drawled. The staff hears you. Claire touched her split lip. We were bonding. I held up the necklace. She stole it. Eleanor's voice crackled over the intercom. Girls, is everything all right? Claire snatched the necklace back. Just sisterly love, Mom. The funeral parlor fax. 3 a.m. My phone buzzed. Doc done. Her samples swapped. You're 99.98% again. Burn this phone. I flushed the SIM card down the toilet. Claire's test was now my test. Let the lab explain the discrepancy. But when I crept past Eleanor's room, I heard voices. Need to protect yourself, Gregory whispered. They're my daughters, Eleanor rasped. One of them's poisoning you. Silence. Then, I know. My blood turned to ice. The morning after. Breakfast was tense. Claire wore the stolen necklace. I wore a turtleneck to hide the scratches. Eleanor pushed her oatmeal around, her eyes darting between us. I've decided to revise the will. Claire dropped her spoon. Mom. Equally, Eleanor said. 50-50. To both my girls. Gregory choked on his coffee. Claire forced a smile. That's fair. I nodded, numb. 50-50. A death sentence. Eleanor reached for our hands. Promise me, you'll take care of each other. Promise, we said in unison. Lies taste better in stereo. The park bench packed. I met Claire in Central Park that afternoon. She fed pigeons, I chain-smoked. Truce, she said. Fuck no. She tossed breadcrumbs. We'll destroy each other. And Gregory gets everything. What's your point? We team up. For real. Take the money, vanish. I snorted. And trust you. She handed me a USB drive. Gregory's offshore accounts, $12 million. Yours if you walk away. I pocketed it. You're scared. I'm pragmatic. She stood, brushing crumbs off her skirt. Oh, and Lacey? The next time you poison my tea. She leaned in, her breath hot in my ear. Use something that doesn't smell like rat piss. Chapter 4, Poisoned Crowns. Eleanor's coughs turned into a death rattle by dawn. The sound of it, wet, jagged like a butcher hacking through gristle, woke me from a nightmare where Claire's scalpel was a tongue flicking against my teeth. I found her in Eleanor's room, already dressed in pearls and a pitying smile, pressing a cold washcloth to the old woman's forehead. She's septic, Claire said, not looking up. Fever's 104. Kidneys are shutting down. I leaned against the doorframe, still tasting last night's vodka. You a doctor now? I've seen enough corpses to know one. She nodded at the nightstand, where a syringe of morphine glinted in the lamplight. We could end it. Humanely. Eleanor's milky eyes fluttered open. Lacey? Right here, Mom. I edged closer, avoiding Claire's gaze. The locket, Eleanor rasped, clawing at her nightgown. Where's? Claire pulled the chain from her own neck, my forged locket, the one I'd planted months ago. Right here, Mama. Safe with me. Eleanor's hand trembled as she touched it. My sweet girl. Bitch stole my prop. I dug my nails into my palm. You should rest, Mom. We'll handle everything. No, her grip tightened on Claire's wrist. Gregory, bring Gregory. Now. Claire stiffened. He's asleep, Mom. Let's wait till. Now. The word tore out of her, bloody and raw. Claire shot me a look. Fix this, but I just shrugged. Better get the vulture. The vulture's feast. Gregory arrived in a wrinkled suit, reeking of bourbon and regret. He took one look at Eleanor and paled. We need to call an ambulance. No hospitals, Claire snapped. She wants to die at home. Dignified. He laughed, harsh and brittle. Dignified? You two turned her into a lab rat. Look at her. Eleanor moaned, her fingers twitching toward the morphine syringe. Gregory lunged for it, but Claire was faster. She snatched it up, pressing the needle to Eleanor's forelock. Say the word, Mom. We'll make it stop. No, Gregory grabbed her arm. You kill her now, the will gets contested. I'll contest it. Claire's smile was glacial. With what money? Those offshore accounts in the Caymans. He froze. I pulled the USB drive from my pocket, dangling it like a pendulum. 12 million, right? Wonder what the feds would do for a cut. Gregory's jaw twitched. You're bluffing. Am I? I tossed the drive to Claire. Wanna see? Eleanor's gurgling breaths filled the silence. Then, softly, she spoke. Charles kept a gun. We all turned. Her eyes were lucid, sharp as the scalpel Claire still carried. In the study, behind the Monet, Claire blinked. Mom, what? He'd want you to have it, Eleanor whispered. My girls, protect yourselves. Gregory backed toward the door. This is insane. Sit. Down. Claire's voice cracked like a whip. He sat. The devil's heirloom. The Luger was cold in my hands, heavier than I expected. Engraved with the Whitaker crest, a ship's will wrapped in chains, it smelled like gun oil and old violence. Claire traced the barrel with her fingertip. Dad's little helper. How many people do you think he shot with this? Enough to keep it loaded, I said, clicking off the safety. Gregory's Adam's apple bobbed. You're not killers. Aren't we? Claire pressed the morphine syringe to Eleanor's fore again. Mom, it's time. Eleanor's gaze locked onto mine. You look like her. My mother. I froze. What? Margaret. She had your eyes. Cold as January. A tear slipped down her cheek. I loved her. And she sold me to Charles for a diamond mine. The room tilted. Claire's hand hovered over the syringe. Mom! Do it, Eleanor hissed. Please. Claire plunged the morphine. The silence after. Eleanor died with a sigh, her head lolling toward the portrait of Charles, his oil paint eyes judging us from the grave. None of us moved. None of us breathed. Then Gregory lunged for the Luger. Claire shot him in the foot. The bang was deafening. Gregory screamed, crumpling to the floor as blood soaked his Ferragamo loafers. Claire tutted. Oops. I stared at her, the gun smoke stinging my eyes. You psychopath. He was going to grab the gun. So you maimed him? Gregory groaned, clutching his mangled foot. I'll fucking end you. Claire crouched beside him, pressing the Luger to his good knee. Say that again? Stop. I grabbed her arm. We need him alive to probate the will. She hesitated, then shrugged. Fine. But he's tied up. Literally. We used Eleanor's Hermes scarves. Gregory thrashed, cursing, until Claire gagged him with a Chanel sock. Now what? I said, staring at Eleanor's corpse. Claire pocketed the Luger. Now we burn it all. The funeral pyre. The fire started in the study. Claire doused Charles's ledgers in cognac, struck a match, and watched the flames lick his legacy to ash. This way, she said. It looks like a burglary. Grieving daughters, traumatized, blah blah. I clutched the USB drive. And Gregory? Gas leak. Tragic accident. She smiled. Unless you've got a better idea. I didn't. So I helped her drag Gregory to the pantry, his muffled screams music to my rage. We shut him in, turned the gas on low, and fled to the rooftop garden. The explosion shook the building at 3 a.m. Claire hooped, champagne in hand, as flames engulfed the penthouse. To Mom, she said, toasting the inferno. I didn't drink. I couldn't stop staring at my hands, shaking, soot-stained, alive. You did good, Claire said, slinging an arm around me. I shoved her off. We're not friends. No, her smile faded. But we're alive. Sirens wailed in the distance. Claire tossed the champagne bottle into the fire. Time to go. The split. We met at the bus station, duffel bags stuffed with cash and jewels. Claire wore Eleanor's fur coat. I wore her diamond earrings. South America? She said, flipping through a stolen passport. Antarctica, I muttered. She laughed. Then froze. Shit. What? She pulled out the Luger. Gregory's phone. I left it in the pantry. My blood turned to ice. So he recorded everything. Voice memos. Proof. The sirens grew louder. Claire grabbed my arm. Run. We split up, her east, me west, as cop cars screeched into the terminal. I ducked into an alley, heart pounding, and pulled out the USB drive. Gregory's offshore accounts. My ticket out. But when I plugged it into a library computer, all I found was a video. Eleanor's face filled the screen. Hello, girls, she croaked. If you're watching this, you've killed each other. The money's gone. The accounts, the trusts, all empty. You're welcome to try finding it. But remember. She leaned closer, her eyes gleaming with malice. I learned from the best. Chapter 5, Ghosts and Gunpowder. The video ended, leaving me staring at the library computer's cracked screen, the afterimage of Eleanor's smirk seared into my retinas. Outside, rain sheeted against the windows, blurring the city into a watercolor of taillights and neon. Somewhere in the storm, Claire was running. So was I. I smashed the USB drive under my boot and bolted, the librarian shouting after me as I shoved through the doors. The cold hit like a slap, but I didn't stop. I ducked into a bodega, grabbed a burner phone, and dialed the only number I knew by heart. Claire answered on the first ring. What the fuck did you do? Me. That USB was your idea. I hissed, huddling under an awning. Eleanor played us. The money's gone. All of it. Silence. Then a low, jagged laugh. You really think I'd leave a trail? Meet me at the docks. Pier 17. 1 hour. Go to hell. Bring a gun, she said and hung up. The rat's nest. The docks reeked of fish guts and diesel. Claire waited in the shadow of a rusted shipping container, Eleanor's fur coat swapped for a black hoodie. The Luger hung loose in her grip. You look like shit, she said, eyeing my soot-streaked face. You look like a target. I kept my hands visible. Talk. She tossed me a file. Inside, photos of Doc, face down in a methadone clinic bathroom, his throat slit ear to ear. Gregory's last gift, she said. Found him an hour ago. I swallowed bile. Who else knows? Cops. Mob. Every vulture with a badge or a blade. She paced, the gun tapping her thigh. Eleanor didn't just burn us. She fed us to wolves. A tugboat horn blared in the distance. I flicked through the photos, Doc's blood pooling around a syringe, his fingers clutching a note. Tell L.A. We need to disappear, I said. Claire snorted. With what? Our good looks. With this. I pulled a key from my pocket, the one I'd lifted from Gregory's corpse before the pantry exploded. Safety deposit box. First National Bank. He mentioned it once when he was drunk. Her eyes narrowed. And you waited till now? I don't trust you. Smart girl. She grabbed the key. Let's go. The bank job. First National was a granite tomb guarded by cameras and a night janitor who looked like he'd rather be anywhere else. Claire jammed the key into box 217. Inside, a stack of passports, two Glocks, and a letter. To my darling daughters, Claire read aloud, her voice dripping venom. If you're reading this, you've murdered poor Gregory. Tisk tisk. But don't fret. The real treasure is buried with Charles. Dig him up, and it's yours. Zoxo, Mom. I stared at the words. She wants us to grave rob. Claire crumpled the letter. She wants us to die. Charles's plot is in Greenwood Cemetery. Guarded. Motion sensors. Armed patrols. So we'll improvise. No, she shoved a Glock into her waistband. We'll do it right. For once. The Devil's Graveyard. Greenwood Cemetery at midnight looked like a Tim Burton wet dream. Fog slithered between headstones, dead leaves crackled underfoot. Charles Whitaker's mausoleum loomed ahead, a marble monstrosity with angel statues that seemed to track us with stone eyes. Claire cut the chain on the gate with bolt cutters. Watch for sensors. No shit. I crouched behind an obelisk, scanning the shadows. Patrol comes every 20 minutes. We've got 10. She jammed a crowbar into the mausoleum door. Help me, or I'll leave you here with Dad. The door creaked open. Inside, Charles's casket gleamed under moonlight, the Whitaker crest mocking us from the lid. Claire pried it open, and the smell hit us, rotten lilies and decay. No body. Just a metal case stamped with a shipping logo. Bingo, Claire whispered. A flashlight beam sliced through the dark. Freeze. Bullets and betrayal. The guard didn't see Claire coming. She disarmed him with a kick, then bashed his skull against the casket. Grab the case. I hauled it out, heavy padlocked. Move. We sprinted through the graves, gunfire peppering the ground at our heels. Claire returned fire, the Glock's bark echoing off mausoleums. A bullet nicked my ear. I didn't stop. We hit the car, tires screeching as Claire floored it. Open it. I smashed the lock. Inside, stacks of bearer bonds, deeds, and a black velvet pouch. Claire dumped it out, a single diamond blue as a glacier. The Whitaker Star, she breathed. Worth 30 million. Or a death sentence. I pocketed it. Someone's gonna notice this missing. She smirked. They'll blame Gregory. The diamond burned in my pocket. I almost believed her. The safe house sting. We hold up in a motel off I-95, the kind where the bedbugs check out before you do. Claire spread the bonds on the bed, counting aloud. I scrubbed blood off my hands in the sink. We split it here, she said. You take the diamond. I take the bonds. Go our separate ways. I turned. Why? Because I'm tired of your face. Bullshit. I stepped closer. What's the catch? She didn't flinch. No catch. Just business. The Glock lay between us. I reached for it. So did she. The truth in the trash. We woke to sirens. Claire cursed, peering through the blinds. Cops. Three cruisers. Ow! She froze. The diamond. It's got a tracker. I hurled it out the window. Too late. Down the fire escape. Claire kicked the door, and we slid into the alley, gunfire erupting above us. A bullet tore through her shoulder. She didn't scream. We stole a truck, bleeding and breathless. Claire slumped in the passenger seat, her hand pressed to the wound. Hospital. They'll ID you. Fuck. She punched the dash. Then fix it. I pulled over behind a dumpster. This'll hurt. No shit. She bit down on a belt as I dug the bullet out with a pocket knife. Her scream was muffled, primal. When it was over, she laughed, shaky and wild. We're gonna die, aren't we? I stitched her up with dental floss. Probably. The last deal. We ditched the truck at a chop shop. The owner, a grease-stained ghoul named Vic, gave us cash and a tip. Some guy's asking about you. Federal. Or mob. Same difference. Claire palmed a switchblade. Where? Battery Park. Midnight. The park was deserted, the Statue of Liberty a ghost in the harbor fog. The man waited under a lamp post, tall, silver-haired, with a smile that didn't reach his eyes. Ladies, he said. I represent interested parties. Claire leveled the Glock. Name your price. The Whitaker Star. And the bonds. I stepped forward. Or. He snapped his fingers. Shadows detached from the trees. Three men with rifles. Claire shot him first. The bloody getaway. Chaos. Muzzle flashes lit the fog. I grabbed the dead man's briefcase, Claire covering me with wild fire. We ran, bullets shredding leaves, until we hit the waterfront. Jump, she screamed. We plunged into the harbor, the cold punching the breath from my lungs. I surfaced, treading water as searchlights swept the pier. Claire's face floated pale in the dark. Still alive, she gasped. Barely. We swam until our limbs gave out, crawling ashore under a rotting pier. Claire collapsed, laughing through chattering teeth. What's funny? I spat out brackish water. All that money, she said. And we're still rats. I stared at the briefcase. Inside, $500,000 in cash. Not rats. Cockroaches. She grinned, blood on her teeth. Survive anything. Chapter 6, The Last Con. The cold bit through my soaked clothes as we huddled under the pier, the stink of rotting fish and gasoline clinging to our skin. Claire's breath came in shallow hitches, her hand still clamped over the bullet wound in her shoulder. The briefcase of cash sat between us like a coffin. We need to move, I said, wringing seawater out of my hair. They'll sweep the coast at dawn. Claire's laugh was a broken thing. Move where? We're ghosts with a target on our backs. Ghosts don't bleed. I tossed her a strip of fabric torn from my shirt. Wrap it tighter. She grimaced but obeyed, her fingers trembling. For the first time, she looked mortal. Human. It pissed me off. The diamond, she said suddenly. You threw it into the harbor. But the bonds are useless without the Whitaker Star to authenticate them. I kicked the briefcase. This is all we've got. Half a mil enough to disappear. Claire's eyes narrowed. You'd split it. 50-50. Then we never see each other again. She stared at me, the fog curling around her like smoke. Bullshit. I stood, slinging the briefcase over my shoulder. Stay here and die, then. She grabbed my ankle. Wait. Her grip was weak. I could have shaken her off. Instead, I waited. There's a buyer, she said. In Jersey. Pays cash for hot gems. No questions. The diamond's at the bottom of the harbor. He doesn't know that. I crouched, eye to eye. You want to scam a scammer. She bared bloodstained teeth. We're good at it. The Judas kiss. The buyer's name was Anton. He operated out of a meatpacking plant that reeked of iron and bleach. Claire leaned against a pallet of frozen pork, her face pale but steady. I did the talking. Whitaker Star, I said, sliding a photo across the stainless steel table. 30 million. We want 15. Anton's gold tooth glinted as he smiled. Where's the stone? Safe. You get it after the cash. He drummed his fingers. A thug with neck tattoos loomed behind him, cracking his knuckles. No stone, no deal. Claire stepped forward, wincing. We're not amateurs. Half now. Half after. Anton studied her, then nodded. Wait here. The thug led him into a walk-in freezer. Claire met my eyes. Now. We duct-taped the guard, stole his keys, and raided Anton's office. Safe behind a painting of Jesus, classy, overflowed with cash. We stuffed duffels until they bulged. Told you, Claire panted. Easy. The freezer door creaked open. Anton stood there, holding the diamond. The double cross. It glinted in his hand, blue and cruel. The Whitaker Star. You think I don't check the harbor? Anton sneered. Divers fished this out an hour ago. Claire lunged for the exit. The thug tackled her, her stitches bursting as they slammed into the concrete. I pulled the Glock, but Anton pressed the diamond to Claire's throat like a blade. "Drop it," he said, "or I carve her open." Claire's eyes locked onto mine. "Do it." I shot her in the leg. Anton flinched. Claire headbutted him, snatching the diamond as he staggered. I fired again, wild, shattering overhead lights. Darkness swallowed the room. "Run!" Claire screamed. We did. The hollow crown. The highway blurred outside the stolen sedan. Claire curled in the passenger seat, her leg leaking blood onto the leather. "You shot me. You'd have done worse." She laughed, delirious. "Damn right." We ditched the car at a rest stop, bandaged her leg with stolen gauze, and boarded a Greyhound to nowhere. The diamond sat between us, silent and accusing. "Why'd you save me?" she muttered. "I didn't. I saved the diamond." "Liar." The bus rattled through the night. Somewhere outside Cleveland, she spoke again. "We could have been something. Partners." "We are something," I said. "Sharks. And sharks don't have partners." She turned to the window. "Just bigger sharks. The final betrayal." We holed up in a roadside motel, the kind with sticky carpets and bulletproof glass. Claire passed out on the bed, the diamond clutched to her chest. I should have taken it. Should have left. Instead, I watched her sleep. The girl with my face. My sister in sin. The knock came at dawn. Housekeeping. I peered through the peephole. A maid had bowed, holding a tray. Something glinted in her hand. Too late. I dove as the door exploded inward. Claire woke screaming. Gunfire chewed the walls. Anton's thug filled the doorway, shotgun raised. Claire threw the diamond. He caught it, grinning. Then his head burst. The Reapers do. Claire stood behind him, my Glock smoking in her hand. Got a spare clip? We fought back to back, room to room, until the motel was a war zone. Anton cornered us in the parking lot, the diamond in one hand, a machete in the other. You're out of bullets, he sneered. Claire smiled. But you're out of time. The cops swarmed in, sirens, shouts, Kevlar vests. Anton bolted. Claire grabbed my hand. Now, we ran. Again. Always running. The truth in the trash. The freight train rattled beneath us as we hid in an empty boxcar. Claire's leg was septic, her skin on fire. I fed her stolen antibiotics, but we both knew. Take it, she said, pressing the diamond into my hand. Finish it. No. Take it. She coughed blood. You win, Lacey. You're the better liar. I pocketed the diamond. Rest. She gripped my wrist. Don't let them bury me. Burn me. Scatter me somewhere clean. I nodded. She didn't let go. You were the closest thing I had to family, she whispered. I stayed silent. She died that way. The last lie. I sold the Whitaker Star to a pawn shop in Reno. Got 50 grand. Enough to start over. But Eleanor wasn't done with me. The pawn shop TV buzzed with news. Heiress's stolen diamond recovered. Authorities seek mysterious woman. I fled, the cash burning my pocket. They caught me at the bus station. Gregory's mistress, the one from Tribeca, smiled as they cuffed me. Eleanor sends her regards. The diamond was fake. A decoy. The real one? Still in Charles's grave. Eleanor's final laugh. Epilogue, the inheritance. They gave me 25 to life. Claire's ashes sit in a locker unpaid. Sometimes I dream of her, scalpel in hand, eyes bright. You owe me, she says. Maybe I do. But in here, time's a currency even I can't steal. So I wait. I plan. And when I get out, I'll dig up Charles Whitaker myself. Chapter 7, The Cage and the Key. Prison smells like bleach and hopelessness. The kind of stench that seeps into your pores, lingers under your fingernails, becomes part of your DNA. I'd been inside for 2 years, 3 months, and 14 days. Not that I was counting. They stuck me in a max security facility upstate, a concrete hellhole where the guards traded cigarettes for favors and the showers were a blood sport. My cellmate was a lifer named Reyes, 6 feet of muscle and meth scars who liked to remind me she'd eaten girls like me for breakfast. I gave her a shiv to the thigh on day 3. We got along fine after that. The nightmares were the worst. Claire's face, pale and bloated, floating in the harbor. You owe me, she'd hiss, her fingers clawing out of the dark. I'd wake up choking on silence, Reyes snoring in the bunk below. Then came the letter. The devil's stationery. It arrived on a Tuesday, slipped under my cell door during lockdown. No stamp, no return address. Just my name in jagged cursive, Lacey Monroe. Inside was a single photo. Charles Whitaker's mausoleum, the door pried open, the empty casket inside. Scrawled on the back. She's not in the ground. But you knew that, didn't you? A friend. Reyes peered over my shoulder. The fuck's that? A tomb, I said. Whose? My father's. She snorted. Rich bitch. I crumpled the photo. Not anymore. The visitor. They called me to visitation a week later. Not my court-appointed lawyer. A cadaver in a suit who smelled like mothballs. Not Claire's ghost. Anton. He sat behind the plexiglass, his gold tooth glinting. Miss me. I hung up the phone. He redialed, leaning into the receiver. I know where she is. I stayed silent. Eleanor, he said. She's alive. The world tilted. The lie that breathes. Anton spun a pretty story. Eleanor faked her death. The morphine overdose? A cocktail of sedatives. The funeral pyre? A body double. She's in Costa Rica, he said. Sipping mojitos with your money. I gripped the phone. Prove it. He slid a passport under the glass. Eleanor's face stared back, stamped under a fake name. Flight records. Bank transfers. A video still of her walking through a San Jose market, very much alive. My lungs burned. What do you want? The real Whitaker star. You find it, I fence it. We split the cash. And if I say no? He smiled. I'll tell the DA who really killed Gregory. The warden's price. Reyes found me puking in the toilets. You look like shit. Feel like it too. She lit a smuggled cigarette. Need help? Depends. You know how to dig up a corpse. She blew smoke in my face. I know a guy. The guy was C.O. Jenkins, a guard with a gambling debt and a toddler on the way. His price? 10. K. U. P. F. R. O. N. T. 10 cup front, 50K on delivery. Delivery of what? I asked. Reyes grinned. You. The escape plan. Jenkins laid it out in the laundry room, his voice a whisper under the industrial hum. 3 days. You'll be on trash duty. Truck leaves at 0500. I'll look the other way. And the cuffs? He tossed me a key. Don't lose it. The plan was simple. Hide in a dumpster, let the truck haul me out, meet Reyes' crew at the landfill. From there, a stolen car, a safe house, a one-way ticket to hell. Why? I asked Reyes later. She shrugged. Boredom's a bitch. The last night, I dreamt of Claire again. She sat at the end of my bunk, swinging her scalpel like a pendulum. You're gonna die out there, she said. Then I'll see you soon, I muttered. She laughed. You don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in anything. Liar. She pressed the blade to my throat. You believe in her. The alarm blared at 0400. The getaway. The dumpster reeked of rot and regret. I curled between maggoty food sacks, the key digging into my palm. The truck lurched into motion. 5 minutes. 10. Then. Screech. Brakes screamed. Voices shouted. The dumpster lid flew open. Out, Jenkins hissed, yanking me onto the roadside. We crouched behind a billboard, the prison searchlights sweeping the desert. A motorcycle roared up, driven by a silhouette in a black helmet. Where's Reyes? I demanded. Jenkins shoved me toward the bike. Change of plans. The rider revved the engine. I climbed on, gripping their waist. Hold tight, a familiar voice said. Claire. The ghost rider. We raced into the dunes, the bike kicking up sand. I screamed into her ear. You're dead. And you're welcome. She tossed me a helmet. Anton's video was a deepfake. Eleanor's still bones. Then why the fuck are you here? She laughed. I owed you a bullet. We swerved into a junkyard, the safe house a gutted school bus. Inside, maps, guns, a shrine of Whitaker documents. Claire peeled off her helmet. Her face was thinner, her hair buzzed. But her eyes? Still predator bright. Miss me. The truth in the trash. Anton's proof was a collage of lies. The passport? A Photoshop job. The video? An actress. He wanted you to lead him to the diamond, Claire said. And you let him play me? I let you survive. She spread a map of Greenwood Cemetery. Charles's grave was a decoy. The real diamonds in Margaret Ellis' tomb, Eleanor's mother. The one she sold her for a mine. I stared at the map. How do you know? She tapped her temple. Family secrets. We're not family. She grinned. We're worse. The pact. We drank stolen whiskey as dawn bled into the sky. Claire's leg was healed, but she walked with a limp. A reminder. Why come back? I asked. She lit two cigarettes, handed me one. You're the only thing I ever loved. I choked on smoke. That's not love. Isn't it? She leaned closer. I'd burn the world for you. The kiss tasted like ash and gunpowder. The heist. Greenwood at midnight. Again. Margaret Ellis' tomb was smaller, crumbling, its angel missing a head. Claire jammed a crowbar into the door. Ready. Always. Inside, the coffin was child-sized. Claire pried it open. No bones. just a velvet box. The Whitaker star glinted inside, blue as a poisoned sky. Claire whooped. We're rich. The first bullet hit her in the back. Chapter 8, Blood Diamonds. Claire's body hit the mausoleum floor like a sack of bricks, her blood already pooling black under the moonlight. The Whitaker star rolled from her grip, glinting against the stone. I dove for it, bullets chipping the marble above my head. Should have stayed buried, bitch. Anton's voice echoed through the cemetery, his silhouette framed in the tomb's doorway. I crawled behind Margaret Ellis' coffin, clutching the diamond in one hand and Claire's wrist in the other. Her pulse fluttered, weak but alive. Fuck. 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 Give me the stone, Anton growled, stepping inside, and I'll make it quick. I pressed Claire's scarf to her wound. You're gonna need more bullets. He fired. The coffin splintered. I returned blind shots, the Glock's recoil bruising my palm. Anton's thugs fanned out, their shadows stretching like claws. Claire's eyes flickered open. Go! Shut up! I dragged her deeper into the tomb, our backs against cold stone. Lacey! I said shut up. She smiled, blood on her teeth. You care? Anton's laughter boomed. Touching. But dead girls don't cash checks. I racked my brain. The tomb had one exit, blocked by Anton's crew, and no windows. Just Margaret Ellis' rotting coffin, and the stink of damp earth. Then I remembered Charles's ledger. Eleanor's dead husband had bragged about escape tunnels under the cemetery. A smuggler's route from Prohibition days. If I could find the trigger. My fingers scrambled over the tomb walls, searching for a seam, a lever, anything. Claire coughed. Third brick, left of the angel. What? The angel, she rasped, nodding at the headless statue. I lunged, slamming the brick. The floor dropped out beneath us. The rat's labyrinth. We fell into darkness, landing in a tunnel slick with moss and stagnant water. Claire screamed as her leg twisted. I hauled her up, the diamond clenched in my teeth. Behind us, Anton's shouts faded. Where does this go? I panted, flashlight beam bouncing off crumbling walls. Doc's maybe. She limped, leaning on me. Eleanor's stories never listened. The tunnel narrowed, the air thickening with rot. Rats skittered past our feet. Claire's breathing grew ragged, her blood soaking through my shirt. You should have left me, she muttered. I'm not you. She laughed weakly. Could have fooled me. We stumbled into a cavern stacked with Prohibition-era crates. Whiskey bottles, rusted guns, a skeleton in a pinstripe suit. Claire collapsed against a crate, her face gray. Need pressure. I ripped open her shirt, revealing the bullet hole. No exit wound. Fuck. You're gonna hate this, I warned, pouring stolen vodka over a switchblade. Already do. I dug. She didn't scream. Just stared at the ceiling, teeth gritted, as I pried the slug from her flesh. You'd make a shit nurse. And you'd make a shit a corpse. I stitched her with fishing line from the skeleton's pocket. Anton's voice echoed down the tunnel. Find them. Claire gripped my arm. Take the diamond. Go. I shoved it into her hand. Carry your own damn curse. The harbor of lies. The tunnel spilled into a derelict boathouse, the Hudson River glinting beyond. A speedboat bobbed in the water, keys in the ignition. Too easy. Trap, Claire croaked. No shit. I helped her in, gunning the engine. Anton's men opened fire from the shore. Bullets peppered the hull as we fishtailed into open water. Claire slumped in the bow, the diamond clutched to her chest. Why'd you come back? I shouted over the engine. Told you, owed you a bullet. Bullshit. She met my eyes. You're all I have. The boat rocked. Silence settled, heavy as the night she died. I tried to leave you, I admitted. I know. She smiled. I would have too. The safe house siege. We docked at a rotting pier in Yonkers, the safe house a condemned tenement with boarded windows. Claire collapsed on a moldy mattress while I scrounged antibiotics from a graffiti-tagged pharmacy. Need a hospital, I said, injecting her with stolen penicillin. They'll ID us. They'll ID you. I tossed her a wig and a fake passport. Maria Sanchez. Died in 2003. She flipped through the pages. I look like a soccer mom. Act the part. We dressed in thrift store blouses and mom jeans, the diamond hidden in a diaper bag. Claire's limp sold the charade, a grieving widow with a colicky baby. The ER waiting room reeked of antiseptic and despair. Claire squeezed my hand as they wheeled her into surgery. Don't sell the diamond. Wouldn't dream of it. Liar. The double cross. I met Anton in a Bronx junkyard, the diamond wrapped in a McDonald's napkin. He arrived alone, arrogant bastard, counting a duffel of cash. Where's your attack dogs? I said. Watching your sister. He smirked. One text and she's meat. I tossed him the diamond. She's not my sister. He inspected it under a loop. Real. Surprised you didn't run. Surprise. The bullet hit him between the eyes. Reyes stepped from the shadows, smoking barrel in hand. Told you I'd collect. I grabbed the cash. Where's Claire? Where you left her? She lit a cigarette. Now my cut. I shot her too. The reckoning. Claire was gone when I returned. The hospital bed stripped, monitors beeping into void. A nurse frowned. She checked herself out. The text came as I hit the street, Pier 17. Come alone. Claire waited on the edge of the dock, the Hudson wind tangling her hair. The diamond gleamed in her hand. You killed Anton, she said. You stole the diamond. She turned, her eyes hollow. You left me. You left first. She stepped closer. We're the same. No, I drew the Glock. I'm better. She smiled. Prove it. The gun trembled. Claire's gaze never wavered. Do it. I lowered the barrel. Fuck you. She kissed me, the diamond digging into my ribs. Knew you couldn't. The shot came from behind. Chapter 9, The Last Lie. The bullet tore through Claire's shoulder, spinning her into the Hudson. She hit the water with a scream, the Whitaker star still clutched in her fist. I whirled, Glock raised, but the dock was empty, just shadows and the reek of gunpowder. Claire! I plunged into the icy black, grabbing her collar before the current could drag her under. She thrashed, cursing, the diamond slipping from her fingers. We surfaced gasping, the river choking our words. Go back, get it! She spat, blood streaming down her arm. Fuck the diamond. Her laugh was a gurgle. Now you're lying. We washed ashore under a refinery's rusted skeleton, Claire's teeth chattering as I stripped off her soaked clothes. The bullet had grazed her, but the river had done worse. Her lips were blue, her pulse a faint stutter. Need a hospital, I said, friction heating her arms. Need the stone. She gripped my wrist. It's all we have. I stared at the black water. All we have is each other. But I'd choke before saying it. The ghost in the machine. We broke into a closed diner, stealing whiskey and duct tape. Claire sipped from the bottle, her eyes glazed with pain. Who shot me? Someone who wants the diamond. I stitched her wound with a sewing kit from the counter. Or you dead? Same thing. She flinched as the needle bit. Eleanor's got claws, even in the grave. The diner's TV flickered to life, a news bulletin. Whitaker Eris's stolen diamond, recovered in Hudson River. Security cam footage showed me diving after Claire, the star sinking into the depths. Fake, Claire muttered. They planted it. Why? To flush us out. She nodded at the screen. A ticker at the bottom read, $5 million reward for information. I smashed the TV. We're ghosts. Let it go. She stood swaying. Never. The Judas kiss. We stole a car, a shitbox Honda with a Jesus fish on the bumper. Claire navigated, her finger tracing a map of the river's dredge zones. Star sank here, tides would drag it south. You're really gonna dive for it? We both are. I pulled over, slamming the brakes. It's over, Claire. The diamond's gone. We're gone. She grabbed my face, her nails drawing blood. You don't get to quit. Not after all we've done. Not after. Her voice broke. I waited for the punchline. It never came. After what? I said. She kissed me instead. Hard, desperate, a confession without words. When she pulled back, her eyes were wet. After this. The Honda's windows exploded. The hounds of hell. Men in black tack gear swarmed us. I stomped the gas, clipping one as we fishtailed onto the highway. Claire leaned out the window, firing my Glock. Left! Left! We careened into a warehouse district, bullets pinging off dumpsters. I sideswiped a semi, the Honda's hood crumpling. Claire dragged me out as the engine burst into flames. Inside! She kicked open a warehouse door. We sprinted past forklifts and pallets, the Merc's boots echoing behind. A ladder led to the roof. Claire climbed first, her bad leg buckling. I boosted her up, then followed as gunfire chewed the rungs. The roof was a graveyard of HVAC units. Claire limped to the edge. Jump or fight? The Hudson glittered below. Together? She grabbed my hand. Always. We leapt. The hollow crown. The river swallowed us, the shock of cold a second bullet. We surfaced under a dock, the Merc's flashlights probing the waves. Claire's breath came in rasps. Follow the pipes. We drifted into a storm drain, the tunnel reeking of shit and decay. Claire collapsed on the concrete, her skin gray. I'm done, Lace. Bullshit. I stripped off her shirt, rewrapping her wound. You don't get to die. Why? She smiled faintly. You'll miss me. You owe me a bullet. She pressed the Glock into my hand. Then collect. I threw it into the water. Not today. The final frame. The drain led to a crypt, Margaret Ellis's real tomb, hidden under a derelict church. Claire lit a stolen Zippo, the flame revealing an altar piled with jewels, gold, and the Whitaker star. Eleanor's stash, she breathed. Another trap. Probably. She lifted the diamond. Still pretty. The walls shuddered. Footsteps. Voices. Anton's men closing in. Claire handed me a grenade from the altar. Courtesy of Grandma. I pulled the pin. Ready. She kissed me. Born ready. We charged. Epilogue, the inheritance. The blast made headlines. Gas explosion destroys historic church. No survivors. They never found the bodies. Or the diamond. Some say we're in Belize, sipping rum under fake names. Others swear we're ghosts haunting the Hudson. But here's the truth. I'm in a motel outside Phoenix, writing this with a stolen pen. Claire's asleep in the next bed, her breath a steady rasp. The Whitaker star's in a bus station locker, waiting for the next sinner. We'll leave it there. Some curses aren't worth carrying.